It is time for Table Talk this morning. We are very happy to be joined by Brad Cook. He is the president over at Snow College. We have someone from the college over here once a month. We want to give a shout-out to Marcy Larson for always setting that up. Marcy just does a phenomenal job. One of my old neighbor wanted to give her a shout-out. Brad, welcome on in to Table Talk this morning. We're super happy to have you on the program.
Thank you, Tanner.
Jumping into things, a busy time at the college. Obviously, this time of year is busy regardless of what's going on, but you've got all kinds of spring sports going on. Because of the pandemic, that's all been shoved back, and you've got football going on, basketball tournaments going on, and really impressed with the volleyball team this year. Really, really excited for what they've done.
You know, with the pandemic, we had, rather than canceling the athletic programs in the fall, we were able to push them in the spring, which does make it a pretty lively spring for us. But the teams are doing quite well, and I really want to invite our listeners down to the Sevier Valley Center this next weekend for our Scenic West Athletic Conference basketball tournament for men's and women. And I think it's a great basketball. So come down and support the Badgers if you've got some time.
I'll be down there tomorrow doing the PA. I wish I could stay Friday and Saturday, but that is going to be a great tournament. Very, very excited for that. Volleyball just won the conference region championship. Been in the top five for the majority of the year. Coach Reynolds has done a nice, nice job with them over there.
Coach Reynolds was the conference coach of the year, and he's done an incredible job. I mean, they went back to nationals last year, too, and so we're excited. This may be a chance for a national championship this year, ranked number three. Some of the most exciting athletic events I've witnessed in my life were actually watching Badger volleyball, and I wasn't much of a, I hadn't really followed volleyball very much, but I'm to watch these women and how talented and fierce they are is just really an amazing thing. So we wish them well back at nationals, and let's hope we can bring home a national championship. Maybe
that'd be amazing. Love to see that over at the college. And football playing right now, which I attended a football game over the weekend. We happened to be in Cedar City for the weekend. It threw me for a loop watching football in the end of March, beginning of April. But it's here, and it's an exciting time for the football team as well.
It's here. We have eight games that were scheduled for the spring, four home, four away. They're 2-0. It was a very impressive performance when they went back to Iowa Western, which was ranked in the top five, and they beat them on their home field. This next weekend, they go back to Pennsylvania and play Lackawanna College, and they're also a top five. So if we can pull off two really tough home or away games, who knows? It may be a special year for football, too.
That's terrific with a new coaching staff to boot. I saw Lackawanna County on the schedule, and I thought, why does that sound so familiar? It's in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm a big fan of the TV show The Office, and that's where that takes place. So I thought, what are the odds my hometown Badgers are going to Scranton, PA? But great that you're playing a national schedule. I think that's fantastic, getting even more exposure out there. So
busy time.
Busy time with those spring sports. And what makes this time of year even more busy is you got commencement coming up. You guys are going to be doing that in person about a month, May 6th for Ridgefield and your four-year convocation, and then in Ephraim on May 7th.
And last year we weren't able to have a commencement because of the situation. We are very committed to having a commencement this year, just for the students can have that experience. But we are going to do something a little different. We're going to have it outside, and spread out a little bit. So we're praying for good weather. We just really felt that this is one of those memories of our graduates that we don't want to deny them if we can. And so we're working hard to make sure that we can have a safe and memorable commencement for them.
Who do you have speaking at the two events?
At the Ridgefield event, which will be at the Sevier Valley Center, Alan Hall, who is currently a board member of our State Board of Higher Education, but really an incredible model for entrepreneurship. And so we're really looking forward to Alan and his remarks in Ridgefield. And then we have Chris Cox, who's the budget director for the governor, and she's an amazing leader and an amazing speaker. Part of the reason is that we wanted her. Is she's such a role model when it comes to people that might have a physical disability. She's blind, and yet has not stopped her at all from being really a national leader in her field. And so we're really looking forward to what Chris has to say. So we're excited for the lineup there.
That's terrific. And with the adjustments of COVID, it's been over a year since everything's, you know, kind of been shut down and moved around, and we've adjusted to these different things. How has this past year been overall at the college with the COVID restrictions?
It hasn't been easy, I got to say. But we've been able to have about 90% of our classes face-to-face despite all of it. Our students have really stepped up, and we had a lot of safety protocols in place, and the students, by and large, were really terrific. I think it's a really important thing to acknowledge how hard our faculty and staff worked, because as you can imagine, we almost had to turn on a dime in terms of the instruction back last March and April, and our faculty are just the best in the world, and they've worked hard to try and have different modalities of teaching. That's not easy. Those that have taught know that it's hard enough, right, to just teach face-to-face, but when, you know, you're also allowing for a remote learning as well, that we ask a lot of our faculty and staff, and it really couldn't have happened without them. So we really are so happy that we've been able to finish out the year. The legislative session was pretty good too, and we may get into that in a second, but the revenues for the state turned out to be more than fine, and so we really do feel that we can still make some progress. There's forward momentum on some of the plans that we have with the college going forward. So I think all in all, we weathered it well, and I'm not sure there's another institution in the country that can say that 90%+ of their classes were held face-to-face, and so that's a real benefit to our students, who a lot of students around the country will suffer and have a year of lost learning, and we feel that our students are in a much better position.
I like the phrase you guys have going right now, make it to May.
Make it to May.
I absolutely love that. Speaking of academic initiatives, looks like you're increasing your online offerings moving forward. What can you tell us about that?
So one thing we're acknowledging is that there will always be students who want to come and have a face-to-face experience, say in Richfield or in Ephraim, and we're very good at it. We've been doing it since 1888. But we're also finding that there are a lot of students who want a Snow Call education but can't come to one of those two campuses. So think about adult learners. You know, here in the state of Utah, there are 370,000 students that have some college, no degree. And we want to find out, especially here in our service region, how do we better serve adults that want to go back and get a certificate or even a degree? And unless we harness technology, they're not likely to be able to because they might be place-bound or family-bound in some of these some of our communities. So we're really sort of expanding that outreach. This doesn't mean we're going to become an online institution. It just adds – it's really an and in this case, where we're trying to provide more opportunities for people to upskill and reskill. Another element that I'm really excited about is a strong initiative with technical education. And what we know is that a lot of our high school students, as they graduate from high school, don't see themselves as college goers per se, but we have to find programs and certificates that meet their interests and needs, especially as it relates to getting them a job. So we've put a lot of effort, and the legislature has been very supportive of us expanding our technical education offerings and reducing the tuition for those students, because often the barrier to higher education for a lot of students that are interested in these programs is a cost challenge. And so so there's a lot more coming when it comes to communication about the kinds of programs and how those students who might want a welding certificate or something more related to IT or in some of our allied health programs that we want to make sure that, that we can meet their needs too. So very excited about that initiative.
That sounds terrific. Another round of statewide Learn and Work programs. What can you tell us about those?
Learn and Work, your audience may remember that with the COVID stimulus funding, there was money that came to the state of Utah. And last fall, they set aside money in which we could do some short-term programs that would be free to students. We offered about 8 programs that were sort of short-term, and they almost all filled because the price was right, of course. But a lot of these were delivered online and some face-to-face. But that was able to help almost 300 people in our region get a job or get that advancement in their current work because they got these skills. It was so successful, the state now has identified additional funding for that. So we're going to have another round of that. So with programs like data analytics or a sort of an accounting certificate, we had cybersecurity, and we'll have a whole host of other kinds of programs that I think. So keep your eyes peeled, those that be interested. This will be free to you, you do need to apply, and it's sort of a first come first serve basis, but we'll put more out to the public in the next few weeks.
You know, one of my favorite things about snow, both when I was a student and seeing how much it's expanded since then, is just how accessible it is to all types of interests and career paths. You guys are doing a phenomenal job with that. It's great to see.
Oh, Tanner, thanks very much. That's our greatest hope, right? That we are an asset to our region, and it's a great place to work, and I'm really hoping that we can add benefits to our economy in Central Utah, add to the depth of our art and sort of cultural offerings too. So thank you for that.
You brought up the legislative session briefly earlier in our conversation. Let's kind of backtrack into that. Ongoing appropriations. What can you give us there?
Great year. We have such great legislators. I really want a specific shout out to Senator Darren Owens, who is just a tenacious and fierce advocate for higher education generally, but Snow College. Representative Carl Albrecht, who is in Richfield, always a strong supporter, and then Representative Steve Lund. We have such a strong delegation. And because of that, I think there were really three initiatives that we were really fighting for. One was an additional appropriation for concurrent enrollment. Concurrent enrollment is an opportunity for high school students to get college credit, and we've actually been quite successful in that, and actually have grown it to the point where we actually needed additional help, and the state sort of stepped up on that. Our technical education, of course, was an allocation we needed, and about $1.3 million was allocated for us to expand that tech ed, and we were able to get that fully funded. And then finally, there was about a $650,000 appropriation to help us with frontline staff. So as you think about the needs that grow at a college, such as mental health counselors or academic advising, right, or some of the frontline staff to help student services and to help deepen the support for our students, we were able to successfully get those appropriations too. So we're very, very glad we live in Utah. I serve as a commissioner for the Northwest Commission on Higher Education, which is our regional accreditation body. And so we look at accrediting self-reports around the western part of the United States. And I've got to tell you, Tanner, I'm so glad we're in Utah. Looking at states like Alaska or Colorado or these other places that where COVID just decimated higher education. We're lucky. So
very much. Yep. 100% agree on that. Capital improvement funds. What can you tell us about that?
So this is something that no one really sort of notices except those inside. We were able to get $3.5 million for just to improve our facilities, right? So this is money that goes to sort of chillers and HVAC units and roofing units and pavement surfacing. We were able to get about $3.5 million on that. We're able to get. We have quite a growing list, of course, of remodels and renovations, and this is going to help us get down that list quite a ways.
Senator Owens also had rural EMS funds. Is that included in that three? Or is that
this
some additional money?
This okay, additional money. Again, this is really a great initiative by Senator Owens, where he's acknowledging and recognizing that emergency management systems around our six counties and in rural Utah generally suffer, right? So you think about the range from EMTs to paramedics to search and rescue to fire and police. And he was able to get about $6 million for the state and for the whole state. And Snow College, though, is going to be about $800,000 of that. It's one-time money where we can work with counties and with local municipalities in training, having greater training opportunities for these key frontline first responder types. So we're really excited to work with our community in upgrading our EMS here in central Utah.
I know they've purchased several new ambulances around the counties and whatnot. So, again, Senator Owens, just we know him very well down here, and he does a phenomenal job. A priority for you guys is the Family Life Building. What updates do you plan on making there?
So the Family Life Building is really at the end of life, and we've had almost a catastrophic sort of sewer problem every single year. And it looks like we might be able to successfully get funding for this. It's about a $20 million project. We've raised about $1 million of private funding towards it. So if all goes well, we're hoping that that can be funded this next year. And that, though, building will come down. And we'll build about a 45,000-square-foot facility that we're calling the Center for Rural Studies and Community Development. This is aimed specifically at how does Snow College become that much more of a leader when it comes to rural development in all of its phases. You know, a lot of our social sciences faculty will move into that building, but we're really asking our faculty to think about their disciplines through a rural lens. So let's say, psychology, economics, education. Why not teach the principles that are taught there, but through the lens of economic or sort of rural spaces and rural communities? And that will help prepare, I think, a new generation of economists and psychologists and educators that understand the unique challenges that rural communities face. So we'll also probably have some of our economic development elements into that building as well. We really want to make a statement that and build on the governor's initiatives of rural development, and we think this building can help further that goal.
Terrific. I love my sociology classes at Snow. Those were some of my favorite ones, so glad my good friend Mike Brenchley is getting a bit of an upgrade over there. He does a fantastic job.
Professor Brenchley is one of our best.
Just a reflection on your first couple years as we close out the interview here. It's been eventful, to say the least, I think, for everybody the last few years, but especially coming in as a president at a college, I'm sure, almost survived the pandemic. Just some thoughts on that.
It has been a terrific 2 years, and I tell people that I've been very lucky in my profession to have some really great positions and jobs, but there's not one that I enjoyed more than this one. I've just loved it, sort of kind of immersing myself into the campus and with our students. But we've done well, right? I mean, we were up 8% in our enrollment in the fall. We were up also in the spring. We had our largest graduating class in its history this last year. We've had the highest enrollment we've ever had, even despite these challenges. We've had a very successful capital campaign. We raised $5 million for need-based scholarships this last year and did that within 12 months, rather. And that says a lot about our community and our alumni and other supporters about how much they believe in Snow College. Our largest private gift that the campus has ever gotten has came from one of our alumni, Terry Foote, and his wife, which we just had a renaming of the Badger Stadium to the Terry Foote Badger Stadium this last Saturday, which was really a terrific honor to have them there. I really think that Snow College continues to grow and thrive, and it's been an honor to be a part of. It's an honor of a lifetime to be here. And our greatest hope really is that our students and our graduates go away with the skill sets that are going to help expand and enrich their lives. And that's what we're here for. And it's a great profession. It's a great institution. And it's just an honor to be here.
Yeah, you've done some phenomenal things, raised over $5 million for need-based scholarships. That's no slouch of an accomplishment. You finished your strategic plan, launched inclusion initiatives, and you've been finding ways to implement the Board of Regents charge. Just terrific work. We really appreciate you not only coming on today, but all the work you've done these last 2 years at Snow College.
Well, it's good to see an alum, Tanner, and we really are so glad that you're here and thanks for this morning. And I do want to also underscore the thanks to Marcy. Marcy Larson is sort of exhibits the spirit of Snow in so many ways, and in terms of her commitment to students, and she's a great colleague. So thanks, Marcy, for all you do.
Absolutely. That is Brad Cook joining us this morning here on Table Talk.